Welcome to
Got Your Milk!
FX is the Strain Podcast. My name's Bubba.
I'm Mork.
And I'm special guest Catfish.
Well, welcome, everybody. We are back for season two. We have just watched the first episode of season two, BK, NY. And that's Brooklyn, New York,
I think? Yeah, Brooklyn.
Brooklyn's in the house. All right, guys, we're going to jump right into it. We have been waiting all year long for more episodes of The Strain. Let's go round the horn.
Our passion is so intense, we'd be willing to wait more.
Well, and here's my thing.
Yeah?
I don't know about you guys, but I made sure that I did all my traveling before this show started, because there's no way I wouldn't want to be around while it was on so that I could tell all our listeners what I think about it. I'm sure you guys feel the same way.
Make sure to tune in for the next 4 weeks, where Catfish will be filling in for Mork.
All right, before we get to our history stories, guys, look, let's not wait anymore. Let's have our rating out of 10. Let's just go around the horn. Let's go to our special guest, Catfish. You'll be first. How many worms out of 10 are you going to give this episode?
Well, it's kind of a trick question because I don't know the exact answer.
Yeah.
In our flashback within a flashback,
right,
the old master vomited a lot of worms into the new master's mouth. I would say upwards of 20,000.
Right.
And that's my rating for this show. The number of worms he vomited into the new, and that's out of 10.
So 20,000 worms out of 10, sure.
Probably 20,891.
All right. Mork, let's hear
it. I think Catfish liked it a little more than me, but I would give it a strong 16 neck balls. So you could translate that because there's two per neck.
Right.
So oh, you stole my bit.
Right.
It'd be an 8.
8 out of 10. So both you guys really loved this episode. So now it's time for my rating. I'm always the harshest critic. Now, you guys tell me, how many baseball games had Mr. Palmer ever been to?
Zero.
But, yes, zero.
So I'm going to give this...
Can we get back to business, please?
Right. So, thank you, Eichhorst. I'm going to give this, for the zero games he's been to, and for this episode, I'm going to give it 10.
Yeah.
10 out of 10.
Love it.
He hasn't been to any baseball games. I didn't see any problems with this episode.
Do you know what this episode made me feel like? A little boy again.
Oh, and you always want to feel like that.
It made me feel like a little angry boy. The way Zach was. Really super angry.
He's angry because he hasn't been playing Zach all along.
Zach 2.0 filled with angst and pissed off emotions.
And just pure anger. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so we're going to continue on. Guys, we want this to be an interactive podcast. We want to know what you guys felt about this special 90-minute premiere of The Strain, Episode 1 of Season 2, BKNY. Tweet at us and tell us what you thought now that The Strain is back. Let's go round the horn. Special guest Catfish, how can people reach you on Twitter?
They can hit me up at CJGman67.
Okay.
That's your 67th favorite CJGman.
Oh, yeah. Mork, a year ago, you didn't have any Twitter, so when people wanted to talk about The Strain, I got them. So now, if people want to talk The Strain with you, how do they reach you, Mork, on Twitter?
Well, the best way is really through you. Bob.
No.
That's really the best way.
No, please.
I have a Twitter, and it's sort of hard to say,
right?
Because it's extraordinary, but with a W. So it's extraordinary. Put a W before the R, and there you go. Does that make sense? Thank you.
Spell it out, Mork. I want people to. I want to get you some Twitter followers.
Extraordinary.
Woohoo! That is awesome. That is awesome. You know what? Let's all give it up for Mork.
Thank you.
Now joining Twitter
Spelling Bee
because
champion,
he wants to talk to you guys about FX's awesome Vampire Apocalypse show. You can reach me, Bubba, on Twitter, at Fit and Trim. That's FITTENTRIM, at Fit and Trim on Twitter.
Now, in the next 4 weeks, even though Extraordinary isn't going to be here,
what?
Feel free to tweet him and ask him
please.
For his reviews.
Right.
Because he'll be watching it wherever he is.
Absolutely, guys. Absolutely. Especially if there's any special episodes featuring Nora's mom.
Oh, without question. If she comes back, you know, Kelly may not be able to raise all these blind kids by herself. She might need another proven mother, Nora's mom.
Thank you.
who's now just ahead, and all sorts of everything. You know, guys, I want to do some housekeeping. Then we're going to find out what our listeners thought, because we've already received some feedback on Twitter. Then we'll do, as we always do, our favorite scene of the episode, as well as our spilt milk, spoiled milk scene of the episode. And we'll break down all the characters and what they're up to. So real quickly, let me do this housekeeping first and foremost. If you're a fan of George R.R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire saga of books and the HBO show Game of Thrones, please go to iTunes and download the Joffrey of Podcasts. That's our podcast where we talk about all things Game of Thrones, Song of Ice and Fire, under the eyes of His Grace Joffrey, first of his name, first in your hearts. If you like the wonderful BBC miniseries Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell, which is currently airing on BBC America in the States, it is finished up on BBC One in the UK and is currently airing on the Movie Network in Canada, go to iTunes and Stitcher and Podomatic and download Lost Hope, our Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell podcast. And if that wasn't enough, and trust me, it's too much, I've just added a fourth show here to the Double P Podcast Network. It's about Harper Lee's controversial new novel, the prequel slash sequel to her classic To Kill a Mockingbird. It's called Go Set a Watchman. That's where my college friend Tasha and I, we read each chapter and give you our thoughts on this shocking news book.
Atticus is a racist.
Not shocking to me.
Hashtag spoiler alert. So please check them all out on the Double P Podcast Network. Okay, guys, I think before we even get to our more of our own thoughts, we do this show for who? Our fans, who we call Strigoi Team 7.
Seven.
They are, the show has its own Strigoi Team 6, and you fans who are kind enough to download and listen to our show and tweeted us, you are Strigoi Team 7.
Better than 6 because they have Twitter.
That's for sure. So there's another great podcast out there which covers all things, you know, kind of geek and fun related. It's called Geek Girl Soup, and they've sent a couple of tweets our way. So, Mork, why don't you read this first one from Geek Girl Soup? They sent right after this 90-minute premiere.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Starting the strain now. Will Got Your Milk be changed to hashtag shot of whiskey for the time that F is off the wagon? That is an amazing question. Thank you, Geek Girl.
Right. Well, we were talking about renaming it Geek Got Your Booze, remember, after he went crazy. And in fact, Court on Twitter, who's at Jendevive, it's J-E-N-N-D-E-V-E, her name's Court on Twitter, she is glad to hear that we are back and going. Also on Twitter, before the show even started, we got some great tweets. Our good buddy Romy134, who's at The Kindly Boy, why don't you read that one they sent, Catfish, because they are excited about Strigoi.
Only a few hours away, getting pumped at Fit and Trim, at CJJamin67, at Extraordinary Rye, at The Strain FX, hashtag Got Your Milk Podcast.
Hell yeah. And at The Kindly Boy, they sent a picture of the billboard with the strain on it,
too. It's beautiful. Beautiful shot composition, the lighting. It's beautiful.
And one of our favorite members of Strigoi Team 7 is Anne. Do you guys want to read what Anne sent us on Twitter?
Yeah, Anne at AmHagen25 says, at The Strain on FX, can't wait. At Fit and Trim, at Extraordinary, and hashtag Got Your Milk Podcast.
Hell yeah. People are very, very excited. Guys, is this, I want to read a new iTunes review, but before we get to some of our new, our new iTunes reviews, do you want to,
Can I just repeat one more time my favorite iTunes review of all time?
Yes.
It says, if you hate The Strain, then this is the podcast for you.
Hey.
I don't know why they say that.
No.
Because no one loves the podcast more than me. I just gave this show 20,812 out of 10.
At least that many.
Exactly.
At least that many. That's for sure. All right. So let me get to these wonderful, wonderful new reviews. Now, the one you were talking about, Catfish, is on iTunes, and it was from somebody, Dead_Geek, who said, sure enough, do you love to hate The Strain? Then listen to this podcast. And he gave us 5 stars. We've got 3 other brand new reviews, and let's just run through them real quick. From PMAC06, It's the title of the podcast. It's a 5-star review. It says, "Makes watching the show worth it!" Exclamation point. Started listening because of the Joffrey of all podcasts. These guys are hilarious, and I am addicted. Thank you so much. We also got one from Romy134. Why don't you read that one, Catfish?
Yeah, yeah. Romy, the title is "This Milk is Rotten."
Hey, now.
He gives it 13 out of 10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. "I think these hosts can get me to watch anything. I have never heard of FX's The Strain until they mentioned on one of their other podcasts and doubt that I would have ever watched the entire season under my own free will. Yet I watched it all and cannot wait for the next season to start. Keep up the great work. Your double L."
Double L?
Loyal listener.
Oh, that's what they meant. All right, and we got a final new review. Mork, why don't you read this one?
Ah, this is from AussieXTJ.
Heck yeah.
"The Great Companion. The most honest The Strain podcast available. Laugh and cry along with Bubba, Mork, and sometimes Catfish."
That's right.
"Special extra Catfish. As they break down each episode of The Strain, tune in and listen to Mork's download spiral into a deep depression as he deals with the loss of Nora's mom."
Oh,
how that
you
hurts.
How you doing? You doing okay? You doing okay?
I'm swirling the bowl.
You doing okay?
Swirling the ball into my depression. Thank you, AussieXTJ.
Now, Mork, why don't we get to you first? And we're going to go, once again, favorite scene and spoiled milk scene. Now, you were hashtag Nora's mom, number one supporter.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, some fans were happy that she got killed, but not you, Mork. You were the one. So, carrying the flame for her. So, Mork, what was your favorite scene? What was your spoiled milk / spilt milk scene? And if you have a character who you think can replace Nora's mom in your heart, let's hear it.
Well, first off, no one will ever replace her in my heart.
Okay.
Let's just get that out of the way. That's sure. The most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. My favorite little moment was when our boy, Abe, got kidnapped.
Oh, wow, right at the top. Yeah, that was crazy.
Right at the top, and that was a lot of fun. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know where we were going. And when we got there, I thought it was a blast.
Yeah, let's get these heroes together. Good point. Were there any scenes, now you rated it so high, there's a chance there'll be none, but was there any scene that you thought, this is a little spoiled milk, this is a little spilt milk?
I felt like, Nora and Neff, I think we need to figure that out. But the real curdle... The real rank thing for me this episode.
Oh, no.
That young Abe in the flashback.
Sure.
Did you guys notice how his grandmother had a thick Romanian accent and somehow he sounded like he was from Torrance?
That was the way the Romanians talked.
Is that the old country? Then maybe, I'm not cultured. And that's why I'm going to be backpacking through the old country for a few weeks.
Okay. I think it's because when she grew up, there was no TV.
Right.
So he was able to watch the TV and had a more generalized accent.
Romanian TV in the 30s was very influential on their accents.
The Golden Age. The Golden Age is what I'm told.
All right, the Golden Age of Romanian TV. All right, let me jump to mine. So my favorite scene... Because with the giving it a 10 out of 10, you can't get any higher unless you make it higher. So my favorite scene, the one that had me on the edge of my seat, was finding out which baseball team Coco loved the best. So I was always wondering, somebody who just dropped in, we can't rezone this building. You can do anything in this building except build a baseball stadium. Obviously, Coco really had me wondering, hey, what is this mystery of Coco? Oh, she's a Red Sox fan. Well, now I know the mystery is solved. And then I was like, well, wait a minute. How could she be a Red Sox fan and be in real estate? And then I found out she spent part of her time in France. Mm. Never has a mystery been solved quicker than the mystery of Coco. I thought she might replace Nora's mom as your favorite.
No. Although, I have to say, I'm glad they worked this out just in time for Bastille Day.
Oh, no. Vive la France.
Yeah, why did you say, oh, no, at Bastille Day? What's wrong with Bastille?
You know what? The thing about Bastille is they remind me of the band Bastille, and they love the TV show Twin Peaks like I do. But that lead singer, his voice gets really high sometimes.
No, I know how that is.
All right, so my spilt milk scene of the week, my only spoiled milk scene of the week, was every scene that didn't feature Coco. Because she is a lovely actress. I've always...
She's no Chloe O'Malley.
Oh, Mork, let's keep this not about Jared from Subway, but let's keep this clean. Chloe O'Malley is a wonderful actress. Last time we saw her, though, she was with our boys, Strigoi Team 6. And so I last season, you know, guys, I'm a eligible bachelor, always looking at lovely Kelly, and since she's become, let's be honest, honey, you got real ugly. Since she lost her looks, I've been looking. Well, Dutch doesn't do it for me, mainly because she wasn't in the novel. So I've been looking for my new person, and Coco is it. Catfish, how about you? Favorite scene? Spilled milk, spoiled milk.
Well, again, I gave it about over 20,000 out of 10.
That's
so
high.
So it's super quick. Let me just go my three favorite scenes. There's three. I had to go three.
Okay.
One of them was when Satrakian was like, he was like, let me hook up with these guys, the elders.
Sure.
He's like, and we found out that there were seven of them, including the master.
Mm-hmm.
But we've only seen three plus one.
Right.
Okay. When he was like, cool, I'll totally let you guys know. And in the meantime, let me just check out the way you totally bleed a guy dry, because I'm down with that, okay?
Yeah.
That's number one.
Yeah,
number two
guy.
Was the same thing when he came home and he's all like, you know what?
What?
It'd be better if I don't tell anybody about this at all, because that'll make it like way better. These people will be able to operate better if they don't know this information.
Right.
That's true. But they already listen to everything he has to say too closely.
Right.
So he probably doesn't want it. It's information overload.
Absolutely.
He didn't want to remember to tell them about the Ancient Ones, because then he might forget which locker is his personal locker at the self-storage unit.
Boy, I loved that.
Loved.
That was a fun scene, too, because it was like very Three Stooges-ish, and I love that.
Okay.
But my other really top scene is Zach. I love that they brought in a new Zach, and also they made him so nuance. Like, he went through like so many different levels of emotion in this episode.
Right.
Like, from like all the way from like petulant to just really pissed off. And I was super excited about that.
I don't think the old actor playing Zach could have gone from petulant to pissed off.
No.
He really
stepped it up. And it was like, I was like, it's like a young Olivier here.
Now, I always called the old Zach toe-headed Zach, even though that wasn't correct.
That was not right, because he was blonde. Blonde, toe-headed means blonde.
Right, but always reminded me of like a toe. You couldn't walk without a big toe. You couldn't have the show without Big Zach. And
wow.
So now, what am I going to call this new Zach now that he's not toe-headed? I was just thinking, Chubby Zach.
Chubby Zach? All right.
He'll grow out.
Angry Zach.
All right.
So, okay, my spilt milk scene.
Yeah, you're spoiled.
Again, it has to do with the new Coco Chaudrillard.
What?
Yeah, because I didn't believe.
What?
Like, it was so weird that she'd be attracted to someone who was so young, right?
Right.
Because, like, she's like flirting with him. I'm like,
well, you mean
dude,
with
that's
Mr. Palmer?
Creepy.
She's flirting with Mr. Palmer.
It's creepy. He's
creepy.
Too young for her.
Oh.
So I thought, I didn't believe that. And I did get kind of a weird feeling, because I thought, like, this is inappropriate. And it made me feel awkward about the whole thing.
Oh, really? Ugh.
Sorry to hear that, Catfish. We're here for you.
Be strong, Catfish.
Thank you. You know what? But there were so many great scenes. Like,
great
to be able to just to say those three. I'm just quivering with anticipation.
Guys, so let's go ahead and let's just start breaking down this kind of storyline by storyline. But first, let's look at, this is a story of a city. New York and Brooklyn. Manhattan and Brooklyn.
Let me say this, too. If anybody, you know, we do just to make sure we don't miss anything, because we want to let all our double L's know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But so we always have the subtitles on, and they are amazing, because in parentheses it'd be like sirens in the background, screaming,
right,
like that. It really gives you a great idea of like subtly,
right,
that like even though life goes on,
yeah,
pretty much seemingly normal, that like this is a city in complete ruins. It's a shit storm.
It's a great city to be in if you're in the real estate market. It's a seller's market.
Absolutely. And the zoning commission is still extremely active, apparently.
And they are very active, and you better make sure that the building you're going to build extra drains in, that you can do anything in that building.
Except baseball stadiums.
Let me say that when you're being attacked by evil Sturgoy, the most important thing you want is a credit line. And so Mr. Palmer really came up and really provided for the people who wouldn't have credit.
That is true.
Well, one other thing.
That is true.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know whether I would have noticed it because it was playing on the TV. They talked about how 2,000 more National Guard people were coming into the city, making it a total of 10,000.
No.
Seems absolutely. That's enough. You can knock it down with 10.
That's good.
No, I think so. I mean, basically, the way that they're treating this, I think it's like, you know, New York City's Hurricane Katrina. So, you know, take your time. Don't worry about it. We'll get there.
You did.
Basically the attitude.
You did a great job, Palmy. So
thank you, Palmy.
I think it is time to jump in and let's talk about, and let's start with probably the actor who really kind of had to go through the most in this episode. And I'm talking
about the
master. And so the master, he starts off in a flashback in the middle of a flashback. It is tough when you don't even have your own flashback. So the master, he was the homely prince, the injured prince of this little village in the story that Satrakian's mom is telling. And Satrakian's mom...
But friendly, so friendly.
Right, he had a wonderful sword cane.
Yeah, he's a gentle giant.
Yeah, and his brother, though, was embarrassed by him. What did you think of the master's original look? You thought he was good looking, you thought he was happy. You know, the children love him. He came out and gave them toys and coins and what was...
Well,
he's
I just
Sardu.
Think
I like to call him Sardu.
If I was a child, I would run screaming from someone who looked like that, unless they give me candy, in which case, do whatever.
Did you feel sorry for Sardu that his brother treated him poorly and wanted him to, you know, catch the white wolf?
Not really, because if my enemies were treated the same way that Sardu's brother were, I wouldn't have a very difficult commute to work. No, I don't feel bad for him at all.
I did. I felt Sardu, he was just a good guy who just wanted to hang out, but they went to look. I'm sorry, it's not the white wolf, it's the gray wolf. And this is, so we're supposed to believe that Satrakian's mom knows this real story. So this is,
grandmother.
Did this happen, his grandmother, right? Did this happen in Romania? Where do you think this went down, this Sardu's village?
I'm going to guess Romania or Whittier.
Right. And so he goes to the cave of the gray wolf where all his buddies have been killed.
Now, I was kind of super confused here at the beginning.
You were.
Because I was like, how could this have anything to do with the master? Because the master's been around for years and years. But then it turns out, whoa, surprise, that what you do is you do like a kind of a worm transfer.
Right. So we find out the original master, he was kind of a sprightly, small guy, a little golem-esque. And he sees this big guy's body, and he's like, ooh, I'm hot for that bod.
So, but this fella is one of the seven then, right? That's what...
Right, and so it's just his consciousness is now in the consciousness of
and he's
Sardu the master.
Like, you can tell that he's the master. He's better than everyone else because his neck balls are huge.
Right, you got to have
They're
big...
really big.
You got to have big balls if you're going to take on Sardu.
They're really big.
So, folks... Doesn't this imply, if this is how the season begins, we see the transfer from one master to another. Let's go ahead and have predictions. Will this season end with the current master, who's been injured because he was out in the sun, giving up his worms to a different body? And if so, whose body, who do you want to see become the new master this season?
Zach.
Oh, man, that would be awesome for Zach. How about you, Catfish?
Well, I'm a little concerned because even though Zach's had a few Twinkies, he's still not tall. And it seems to me like you're not going to grow anymore.
Uh-huh.
The only thing that grows after you become the vampire is your neck balls.
And your neck worm.
So I think it'd be better off if it was Fett.
Vasily Fett?
Yeah.
He'd make a good man. Now, does the master have to be male? Because is there a chance Lovely Kelly or Nora or Sexy Hacker Chick Dutch, that they could be the new master at the end of the season?
Everything falls off, so I don't see why it matters. But maybe this is what finally shaves F's head.
You think F could become the new master?
Yeah, why not? Let's do it.
All right. So
seriously, those things are gigantic.
Yeah, this old master. So... They still haven't explained why these creatures even exist.
Can we call them necticles?
Often, yes. We should often call them
Thank
necticles.
You.
Do you think we'll ever find out a couple of things? Number one, how did Satrakian get Sardu's sword? Did we learn that last season? I don't remember.
Point of order. I think you're forgetting that Satrakian owned a pawn shop.
Oh, you think Sardu was hard up for money?
Could be.
He's like in New York City. Everything's so expensive here.
Getting over to the USA, you know.
Right.
I had thought that he had fashioned it, you know, because he made that little knife.
Right.
Last season, he made it in another flashback, but I think that was just a regular flashback, not a flashback inside of a flashback. So obviously, that's more primary.
If we had had like a couple more flashbacks within this, we would have reached Inception.
In true dat, and we would have found the original. We would have found the original gangster. So just like our brah says, OG brah
brah. So hold on, you guys don't feel sorry for Sardu. Sardu got a raw deal.
I'm sorry. So who's still walking around? Even though he needs a little aloe. Sardu.
Sardon't, it was more like it. So all right, so let's follow Satrakian, because he starts the episode as a little boy hearing this story, and let's just follow his storyline. So the next thing we see is he's back tracking the master by himself, and I thought, perfect logic. You know, too many people, the master will be a chicken, he'll run away, but just you, and he loves calling you the Jew, Satrakian, because he's got some Atticus Finch issues that he's got to sort out.
Well, here's the problem, too.
Problem.
I think that, you know, Satrakian was doing great with him last year. He was just monologuing him to death.
Right.
And then the other guy showed up and he got away. Like, he was perfectly, he was just like, I mean, he had the master, at least I felt like it, because he had me, like, ready to commit suicide after listening to a monologue. So I figured he was, like, this close to getting the master to just take his own life.
So Satrakian, he's checking the master where he disappeared to under the street. You know, why didn't he do this immediately after the master disappeared is a great question. But he's picked up, it's a bit tense, and he's picked up by Strigoi Team 6. And you would think he would fight them. He didn't fight them enough, you know, like, they literally put a bag over his head and drag him away. And he hates Strigoi. And he could tell.
No, he just hates the master. And in fact, later on, he shows up and he's like, I know who these dudes are. He knows a lot of stuff. It's just better that he not share it with anyone until the writers decide to add that stuff.
I think so, too. I think that's fair.
All right. So Satrakian is taken to where the ancient ones dwell, down in their awesome. You know what? This is the place where the ancient ones dwell. I got to give it up. If you're in real estate, that's a pretty sweet deal. So they're down there.
Plenty of drains.
And they take the mask off Satrakian, and he sees Gus, and he's like, you're working with these bloodsuckers. How could you do it? And Gus gives some...
Gus is like, bruh, guys got to eat.
Right. Gus, you know, I'm not sure Gus has ever really made sense, which is why I like him so much. His logic, you know, he was like, hey, you're the old man my brother, who I killed. Stole that clock from. Yo, man. No, man. No way, old man. Sweet. Kane, bruh. Why does he... I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
I did not know that. I thought it was New York, not Hawaii, where they were filming. No, this is beautiful. It's got a drain. It's got great lighting. And apparently, Gus fits right in. He doesn't seem to miss Felix too much, his brother he had to kill.
Or his buddy. Remember his buddy?
Was that Felix?
You're right, because I like...
Well, no, his brother had some crazy name. Felix was his buddy.
Yeah, the buddy, not his junkie brother, right.
Top of the food chain, OG. That was Gus's reason for working with these people.
Do you know what I kind of miss? And maybe it's because we didn't get to see Abe in action too much. But
no.
Remember last year how he would, every time he would kill a Strigoi, he would yell out, Strigoi! Do you remember that? I kind of missed that. It was sort of like a butcher, you know, constantly yelling out "roast beef."
Well, no, that's his like motto. It's not yelling out "roast beef." It's just like, boom. It's like when he hits a home run, boom out of.
It's like if you were hitting a home run and yelling baseball,
right?
But
that's what you do at Fenway Park,
guys.
He has to
guys,
have a better thing to yell.
Guys, we are close up on a half hour into this podcast, and our listeners are upset because we haven't done any reenactment. So I think it's time to do a reenactment between the ancient ones, Satrakian, and Gus. So
how about if I just do the ancient ones, because I don't have to speak. I just have to like a spasm.
All right. So okay. Mork, all right. Mork, okay. Who do you want to be, Satrakian or Gus?
Oh, I'd like to be Satray Kid, if that's okay.
All right, so let's do this. So we take you to the Ancient One's lair. Hey.
Slow down. Do you know how old I am? Just wait. Slow down. Give me, these stairs are slippery. I don't have my cane. Oh, and the floor's wet. God damn it. Is there a bathroom near here? Slow.
Weird ancient cry.
That was the closed caption version of the Ancient One.
I heard a weird ancient cry.
Hey, bruh, I'm from the street. Let me play this great song by my buddy, T-Swizzle Taylor Swift.
She's the devil.
Because all us street bros listen to Taylor Swift.
My plan was to have Apple Music steal from independent artists for 3 months.
Scratch, scratch, scratch. Burp. Scratch, scratch, scratch.
I hear scratching. It's scratch! Burp! That's what I hear.
Yo, oh man, OG, listen to me, man.
OG.
These ancient ones are hungry. Now let's watch. I haven't had any soup. We should get out of here by walking 5 paces away.
Burble, 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 burble.
Newzak stole my lunch. I haven't eaten all day.
Yo, brah, watch this. Hey, this guy's totally nude, and I'm not looking at him because he's nude, because I'm totally straight, brah. Bruh, oh man, he'd been working out. He'll be a tasty meal for these Tagoi. Oh man, they shaved him. Oh, sexy, bruh.
Circus Calliope noise.
Oh, bruh, he's totally... Man, his junk was in darkness, so we can't see it.
Give me a moment, Gus. Just give me a moment.
Old bruh.
I'm old.
Old bruh, what's the matter?
I'm trying to take a blue pill. Do you have any water?
Oh,
Calliope music.
And scene. Oh, man, the magic is back of our reenactments.
Boy. High five, guys. High five.
Right, low five. All right, so Satrakian, he is told that he's got to, if Satrakian wants to live, if he finds the master, he's got to let Strigoi Team 6 and the Ancient Ones know.
And he seems really cool with this. Like you said, he's not fighting anybody. In fact, at one point he's all like, hey, I've heard word that there's this book, ancient tome. By the way, if there's a book that's ancient, it must be called a tome. That's in the contract.
Now, do you guys remember, was this ancient book mentioned at all last season? And I hope not.
No, of course it wasn't.
Actually, I hate to jump in, guys, but towards the end of the season one, when Nora's mom said she was going to go get cigarettes, was actually going to get the ancient tome.
Mm.
Prove me wrong.
No, I believe she was, because she said the same words here. I believe the name of the book is the Kwisatz Haderach.
Anybody want to try to pronounce the name of this book?
Sure, let's do it.
It's Romanian.
You sure it's not the
menthol.
Kwisatz Haderach?
No, it is. Listen to me. It is the...
Uh-huh. Yes. Do they know how to kill him?
All right, you ready?
Well, but the crazy thing is that they get very upset about hearing about this book, right? Yeah, they start twitching more. That's when the Calliope music comes up, really.
Yeah. So the name of this book is the OC. I can't even pronounce it. It's so tricky. But it's a legend is passed down through the centuries.
Wait. So
concerning a book.
It's an ancient tome. Thank you very much.
An ancient tome. Yes, exactly right. Of uncertain provenance.
Well, then why are we searching?
Some say divine inspiration.
Wait, if it's
the
uncertain...
The Ocidio Lumen.
No. Akido Lumen.
Akido Lumen. What does that mean?
It means... The lumen means light, okay?
Right. Oh,
and
it does.
And Akido is what Steven Seagal does.
No. It's the light. You know when you go into the pantry and then there's light that you pull down, but then sometimes the string breaks... So to get it to go on, you have to climb up on the step stool. That's the Akido Lumen.
Akido Lumen.
Okay.
If you turn that light on,
that
kills the vampires.
It's a UV light in the pantry.
Sure.
All right. So once again, Abraham Satrakian, if he finds the master, he has to tell
the... You know
what's
interesting is that last season, I thought like they didn't wake up. I thought they like stayed asleep for like centuries. But it turns out...
Even when they're asleep, big deal.
They sleep, and then they wake up, and they eat, and then they go back to sleep.
Even when they're asleep, they can hear and understand everything.
Yeah, how do they communicate with them? And where are the other three?
Oh, The other three.
He says there's seven. The master is one of them.
Right. It's in the book. It's in the ancient tome.
Read the ancient tome one time.
Oh, well, I've got to get... I can't find the step stool. I need the step stool so I can turn that light on.
All right, so let's follow Satrakian. He goes back to their headquarters, but he is beat up, and he's just kind of defeated. He's sad. He's shaken.
No. This is his sharp idea not to share this information with anyone until it's absolutely too late to help.
Can I ask a question, fellas?
Sure.
How is good old Abe supposed to contact Strigoi Team 6? Is there a phone number, a walkie-talkie?
That's on a need-to-know basis.
He gave them they got a beeper.
A beeper, oh, okay.
Yeah, the beepers still work. There's two things that are still important. One is a beeper. Two is to wear your official badge that says you're a rat catcher.
Right.
That does come in
now, handy. Now, Satrakian, he's like, listen, he doesn't tell them the truth. Instead, he says, I need some help. He, even though he had the awesome pawn shop, which was really a giant space in Harlem, he had upstairs, downstairs, it was incredible. But he's like, guys, I need your help to help me go get some of my supplies, my extra supplies, like his silver grenade. Those would have been great last year, but he just left them in the storage unit.
Let's remember now, this is supposed to be like every year's like a week or something, right? Last year was just a week, wasn't it? It wasn't like... It wasn't like months.
It was a short period of time. It wasn't months.
Listen, he forgot. He forgot he had the container.
Okay. That makes sense.
All right. So, but because they all joined up, we'll get to the infamous storage container chase in a bit. But instead, let's follow F as he goes on his journey, and at the same time, we'll follow Vasily Fett. So they
because Fett doesn't get much action this episode.
F is all over Dutch.
I know, but they are vampire proofing their little warehouse here,
and they got a plan.
They
have their own separate plants.
I like that F admits that he sucked at vampire hunting, and he's going to go back to being a doctor, which he also sucked at. So, but I sucked less at being a doctor.
It's good. It's a good point. At some point, someone should let him know. You also, there's three things you suck at. Vampire hunting.
Right.
Doctoring.
Yes.
And selecting hair pieces.
Hey, now.
I'm kind of liking this one, actually.
Yeah. Are you? You think this is a different one?
It's
this is
better. I think
season
it's
two
it's
hair
way
piece?
Better. It's way better. Yeah, clearly there was an increase in the hair piece.
I know.
Budget.
I think this one is made out of real human hair.
Whoa. Let's
They've
not...
spent too much money on that if they did. All right, so F is going to do that. Fett is going to vampire-proof his thing. Fett's girl, Sexy Hatcher Dutch, is also helping vampire-proof the thing. She's also babysitting and feeding Zach. Isn't that sweet of her? Zach 2.0.
Yeah, although, again, she's too young for him.
Okay. So F, meanwhile, he's like, Nora, you and I... let's go back to being doctors. And they keep talking about this good friend of theirs who has a lab. They're like, oh, he spent so much money on his lab. Thank God he has a lab. Boy, you could.
I haven't heard from him in a while.
Nah, why would you? If he's smart enough to have a lab with all this great stuff, he's smart enough to leave the city. Mork, come on.
Yeah, no, okay. All right, that makes sense. That makes sense.
And there's another thing that makes an awful lot of sense. And that is, even though we vampire-proofed our warehouse, let's set up our experiments right here in this vampire-proofed place.
Yeah, but they make a very good point. Who wants to go in a lab? People don't like science. And you know who likes science even less?
Who?
The newly Strigoid. They hate science and they hate math. They hate it so much they want to tongue suck it.
Right, so the people who...
So they should not be here.
So the people whose lab it is, they get shot, I assume, by silver bullets. And, boy, they're like, oh, he was a good friend of mine.
Right, and then he acided him up.
Poor Elliot. And they decide that, hey, we're going to use this lab and stuff. But then, as we follow them back to the warehouse...
Listen, by the way, let me say this. F doesn't care about people he barely knows, right? He didn't even care, right? That they're no longer going to be able to get the ring anymore in Lord of the Rings.
So F and Nora come back to the warehouse, and Nora is drawing, trying to draw stuff up. She's like, okay, this is the way through science defeat these evil Strigoi. But of course, F is drinking what brand vodka, Mork?
Premier Vodka, sister company to Prestige Soap and Cleaning Supply Company.
But F, once he has a drink, he doesn't give an F. F doesn't give an F once he's been drinking.
No, and this is why I think, didn't you say he said he was having more fun this year? Because instead of having a stick up his ass,
yes,
he's got some vodka down his throat.
Poor F.
In addition.
Listen.
It's not either or, people.
F loved his wife, Kelly, but now that she's gone Strigoi, he's back with Nora, and he treats her like he treats every woman, poorly.
Very poorly. Are you boys like me when you see a really impressive board with a cool phosphorescent marker on it?
Sure.
That you can see, you know, you can see, I understand it's a window, but do you think there's science experiments through the years that would have happened, would have been solved, problems would have been solved, our technology would advance if only they were writing on one of those boards?
Well, it depends.
Yeah, only if they paid attention. For example, I am of the mind that the only thing F was paying attention to was hashtag Nora's ass while she was writing.
I think he liked that vodka more than Nora's ass. I think he's
maybe he wants to dribble that vodka down her butt crack.
Oh, no.
Okay.
This has
all
become
right.
a very sexist podcast. Here we go again.
Look, what if I said she wanted to do the same? Would that be sexist? Because I feel they just want to vodka each other up.
Nora was not into F in this episode. He was treating her poorly.
He was, yeah, but...
Well, they're nowhere near another woman's bedroom.
Right.
Oh, that is true. She only gets turned on by her ex's, significant other's ex's bedroom.
All right, so as we continue on the story with our team of heroes...
Hey, do we want to talk about their plan? They come up with
a plan.
We'll
get to
they're
it
going
in
to
a
infect...
second.
Oh, okay,
but
we don't
then
care
they haven't
about
gotten
it
to
much.
It yet. Instead, we finally get an hour into this 90-minute special. We finally get to meet Zach 2.0, and he is just as pissed off as the other one was toe-headed.
See, this is...
I think more.
Oh, okay.
I think we established
more.
That the other
okay,
one
sorry.
Was not
if anyone,
toe-headed.
If anyone is toe-headed, it's F. But if there was a time for a young boy to get really good at throwing sharp silver knives, you'd think this would be it.
But F isn't so happy about
this. But F sees it as a cry for help.
But how does Zach 2.0 not realize that his mom is gone? He's like, cure her! You're a doctor, Dad!
That's because he wasn't there last season. He did not see it.
He saw her at the end. He saw his dad shoot her.
But that was the other Zach.
Oh, this
this Zach has not seen it.
Zach 2.0 has no idea what's happened to Kelly.
That's right!
Okay.
Also, kids these days, way too much self-esteem. Way too much.
Man. You can tell he is getting selfies left and right. But they don't have a good father-son moment anymore. They, you know, depending which actor is playing Zach, that's how you know they will be. You know, I would like it if they switched actors playing Zach between scenes.
Oh, that would be great. That would be great. So we have the non-toe-headed, toe-headed Zach.
Right.
And then we have the angry, Bieber-haired Zach. You know he's going to be petulant because he has Bieber hair.
Now, sexy hacker chick Dutch is building something, and she doesn't even know what it is.
That's because it's art.
Yeah, I describe
it. You know what else is art?
What?
Don't
the
say
former
it.
Musician's mound. That's art.
You mean Bolivar?
Yeah, Bolivar's mound. Bolivar's Ken doll mound. That's
Are
art.
There, do you think the Strigoi have mound envy?
What else could they envy? But guys, hold on. I think this.
Let's get serious.
This thing, one time. I think this thing Dutch is building is a metaphor for the show. They don't know what it is, but once it's done, they'll say that's what it was always supposed to be.
Well, but she's not sacrificing any blind children just yet.
Not yet. But she's enjoying a drink with F. But this thought, this might could be a love triangle with Nora, F, and Dutch. But
I don't know. I have to say, last year, even when it was clear that they were together, there did not seem to be a lot of romance
between
Nora and F.
Oh man,
it seemed like a hate relationship.
Oh come on,
not love hate.
It's possible that both Zach and Nora's mom were killing the romance.
Hmm.
Kind of like Nora's mom was killed.
It's not until that she was, well, she's turned on by death. I don't know. Maybe she'll get a little warmed up this season.
So F is
Guys, I have a date this evening, and I'm going to make sure that I have my dictionary.
Right. In
to
case
define
she,
words.
In case she calls you anything crazy, you'll be able to look it up and say, hey, that's what I am. So do you think there's going to be a love connection between Dutch and F, or is Dutch totally with Fit?
I think that they're going to spend some time. This is my theory
Let's
number 272 okay. for season two of FX is the Strain, only on FX. F
yeah.
and Dutch will spend some time sneaking around. Fett will find out and not care.
Oh, man.
See, now that's not the theory I have.
What's your theory?
Well, the theory that I have...
If it involves vodka going where it shouldn't go,
no,
I'd like to hear
it. It's F and Nora are going to swing with the couple of Dutch and Satrakian.
Oh, I was worried you were going to say they were going to swing with those two old people they found in the storage shed.
No. We want to keep it in the family.
In the name of science, we need to sleep with the Pembertons.
All right, but as F leaves Dutch, she just mutters to herself, nutter, meaning F is nuts. So, okay, here it is, Catfish. This is the scene you wanted to talk about. Nora and F solve what they're going to do.
And you know why they solve it? Because they're both drinking, and that goes to show you that alcohol makes you smarter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So what is their plan? They're going to infect the carriers and break the chain because they can't. Once people are infected, there's nothing they can do. And so.
Well, right. Because they kill them and then they infect them. So you can't.
Now, Mork, as we were watching this scene, you kept muttering something.
I'm just jealous of those cool markers.
No, you were muttering. Maybe you can't remember because it's such an intense scene. But you kept muttering sunlight.
Oh, sure. Well, those are just a couple of things. Actually, they're the same thing that they've known all along. We'll do some serious damage, but I guess we don't need it.
All right. Sunlight's overrated, let's be honest.
Well, we're abandoning our infrared bombs and our lamps. And what happened to that?
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Yes,
did the master get killed last season?
He's wounded. He needs a new body.
Did he get killed?
He needs a new body.
If he didn't get killed, we have to abandon every single thing that may have possibly worked, and we need to start all over again.
It's a process of elimination. You remove bodies one at a time until eventually the master has nowhere else to go.
Well, just like Fett.
Yeah.
He's gonna vampire-proof the entire city one building at a time.
Absolutely.
All right. So Fett, Satrakian, Nora, and F go to the
warehouse. Foursome. Oh, no.
Right, go to the storage unit. And they leave behind a scene we're going to have a wonderful reenactment with now. It's Act 2.0 and Dutch. So let's see it, guys. Catfish, why don't you be? Who do you want to be?
I want to be Zach 2.0.
And that means you're Dutch, Mork. So let's see it, because this was a very pivotal scene in the episode. And we take you to the warehouse, the vampire-proofed warehouse.
Time to throw another shrimp on the barbie, Zach. Are you hungry?
Yeah. I'm hangry, though. I'm hungry and I'm angry. I'm hangry.
And
you know what, too? I'm whore-angry.
I'm
hungry, and I'm angry, and I'm something else that starts with an H.
Zach, if you don't mind, we're from Australia, where we speak slightly slower than you do up here.
I'll put something on your Barbie.
I
give me that Coke. I want that Coke right now. That's a delicious Coke.
Zach, I have a question, Zach. Did your dad, did he say anything about me? Did he say anything about my midriff or my eyes?
Yeah, he said you were building something, and it was stupid, but he was going to say it was nice so he could get in your pants.
Zach, I'm going to think about something very, very important.
Yeah? Well, I'm going to look outside, and I'm going to grab this thing. Don't I look tough when I grab the grate and throw it around?
I'm hearing some sirens wailing in the distance. I think we're safe.
My God, did you just mention your ass?
Yes. All right, Ed Seed, we see that Dutch said you can bet your ass this is going to be safe. Now, do you guys agree?
Zach,
with
here's
Dutch?
My number. When you turn 14, give me a call.
Dutch,
that was the part that was cut.
Dutch, I'm shameful. So now Dutch says, Zach asks, Zach 2.0 says, hey, Will this keep him out? Dutch says yes. What do you guys think? Yes or no? Will that keep
this turquoise out?
During the day, it will, sure.
Yeah, I think during the day, a piece of rice paper would keep him out. But at night, no chance.
No chance.
All right, so, guys, I point this out. So as they pull the bread truck into the storage unit, they open up the gate to let the van in, and then they close the gate behind them for some reason. That sunlight would do nothing but help us. So let's leave the gate closed.
Well, you know what they think?
What do they
think? That those fluorescent lights, they think, God, these are horrible for us. They must irritate the vampires even more. Because, God, it's horrible.
It is ugly yellow light at this storage facility. Now,
they would have gotten here sooner if Fett hadn't forgotten his badge, though.
Right.
So they had to turn
why
around.
Why is Fett wearing his rebel exterminator badge? I'm the city exterminator, and I've got a badge. Why is he wearing it still? Who cares? This city's in tatters.
You know what? Yeah, but there's 10,000 National Guardsmen walking around. Oh. Well, let's just say the 3,000 are walking around alive, and the other 7,000 are walking around
okay,
as Strigoi.
Yeah, right.
And so they still react to the badges.
If you guys were National Guardsmen, yes, and you got sent to New York City,
right?
First place you would go.
Party. Scores.
Scores. All right. Bubba?
I would go see the Book of Mormon.
Oh, God.
Before the Strigoi ruined it with them.
That was a heck of a musical.
I loved it. Okay. I loved it.
All right, listen. So Satrakian, who they always should have been listening to last year, is the fact that the master didn't die. Is it driven him slightly batty? How can he not remember the number of his locker? It's this one, or it's this one, or it's this one.
Listen, he's still trying to figure out how to use that pager that the Strigoi gave him.
So, the first one is not them. The second one he thinks might be his locker is instead inhabited by this old couple who are trying to hide out. Why didn't they just leave the city? Is it in daytime? Can you not drive out of the city because it's in quarantine? What's going on
That's
here?
That's a great question. That's a great question.
Which the I show want you will
to,
not answer.
I want you to pretend that question never entered your head.
No, it didn't. I don't wonder that at all. I'm glad they stayed.
This seemed to save his place as any, except for anywhere out of the city, they say.
Right.
Yeah, and it's a good thing that they just left their kid at the... I'm assuming their kid is one of these poor children. That's
he's safe.
He's fine.
Okay, all right.
So Satrakian finds his thing, and yes, he's got more weapons, and he's got books of anatomy, which F looks at and is very intrigued. Dr. F is ready to do some doctoring.
Nerd.
Hey, now. What do you guys... Is there any weapon besides this?
Let me just say this.
Yeah.
I was so surprised.
Surprised.
Every time they go into some place and they're like, okay, it's clear, and then Strigoi show up, my mind is blown. I'm so surprised every time Strigoi show up.
That's what they're up against, Catfish.
Right.
You don't think this is a serious epidemic just because there's only 10,000 National Guardsmen in New York City.
No,
it's
hold on.
It's serious.
Hold on, let's break this down. Why would Strigoi feed off human flesh? Why would they go to a storage unit where there aren't any human beings? There shouldn't be any people here. You don't have to check. It's fine. It's safe. Big deal. Let's go.
Have you ever seen that show where people bid on unused storage spaces? You can get some super good deals. They're waiting for the sale to start.
For the Strigoi to lower the price. This is a great...
It's an auction. They're waiting for the auction to start.
All right, and so the lights go out. And as soon as the lights go out, don't you think you would start drawing your weapons?
No. Why would I think there'd be any Strigoi around?
Well, right. You know, the silver grenades are very unstable.
And
they
Strigoi,
don't want to risk anything.
God bless the Strigoi. They do not want to fire their tongues if it's our heroes.
Yeah.
If it's these two extras who happen to live in the storage unit, yeah, they'll fire their tongues.
Yeah, if it's a... If,
but
if
other people, they're
single
like...
Single digit on the call sheet, they don't get the full
right.
tongue.
They want to get close. And the Strigoi have no sense of fear. You know, a lot of times, if you're hit with a gun, you would stop running, and you'd run away from the gun. But the Strigoi, because they're controlled by the master, they don't care. And once again, we see people... Vasili Fett kills somebody at point-blank range. Theoretically, no worms get on him, because he's a hero.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no.
And he has a badge.
It's the badge, exactly. They're scared of the badge.
Oh, and Satrakian gets in his kill. He's still my favorite character.
Satrakian doesn't even need two hands.
No. Why would you? Uh-oh, but they, Strigoi, keep coming. They keep coming. How many bullets are in these guns? We're about to find out. Kelly's about to, I'm sorry, Nora's about to run out.
Interesting. And, interesting Freudian slip there.
Sorry, I was doing an inner F there. So the episode ends where this fine couple who had been perfectly safe until F and
until they met F.
Until they met F, they had been perfectly
fine. He is a terrible vampire hunter.
And so now they've been Strigoid, and Fett is about to kill him when F says, oh no, their UV light is revealing worms. We need them.
There you go.
Perfect. And these guys are so happy. They're like, thank you so much for saving us.
Right.
And I can't wait for you to start experimenting on us.
I'm not sure they know that, but it's probably implied.
No, that's what they said in my head.
Oh, it was? And so that's all we see of the heroes. Are you guys excited for where our heroes are this season and what they're up to?
Everything, I want to say this because it's rare that it happens.
Yeah.
Not only is everything so happening so logically and amazingly, but every single thing that's happened was a total and complete surprise to me.
Oh, it was. Yeah, well, we've done some jokes, but this first episode, was a lot better than many episodes last year, wasn't it?
I didn't give any episodes anything over than like four last year.
No, nothing over 15,000.
I think you got to maybe a 6 or a 7.
A 6 or a 7, and now I'm up to 20,000 plus.
All those worms. That's all we were waiting for from you. So we followed the heroes.
The unfortunate thing is the average rating you'll probably give the show by the end of the year is still going to be about a 7, including your 20,000.
All right, so we follow.
I don't know. I'm being very hopeful with this new Zach.
Okay. Can I now speak? Or you guys want to say more things?
Okay, you can go.
So we've followed the heroes. Now it's time to follow our Strigoids. And we see the master is doing rough. He didn't get killed, but he got effed up. You know, if those guys had just stabbed him and or kept him in the sun a bit longer, the master, because he looks
That's
rough.
The problem. If Satrakian had been able to monologue him more while he was out in the sun, it'd be over.
It would be. But the master, he finds poor man Christoph Waltz, and he's saying, hey, this body's done. I need a new body.
Here's what I'm kind of hoping for, and this is...
Let's hear it.
You don't know with Eichhorst or poor man's Christoph Waltz, as I like to call him, is he angling for the new top job?
He could be, but he hasn't implied that he wants it yet.
No, but I would be very afraid because it seems to me that you kind of lose yourself, right? Basically, this guy takes over. I mean, there's no do like Sardu anymore. Mm-hmm.
Sure, sure, sure. But what if, he's supposed to help him find a successor?
Right.
Well, absolutely.
So what if he doesn't and takes the top spot?
Okay. I would say this. I wouldn't be, I wouldn't be like one of those guys like when Dick Cheney was heading up the committee to find the vice presidential candidate for George Bush. I would not want that job to land on myself.
Hmm. Okay, so one of the things the master wants to do, in addition to find a new body, he wants Bolivar to reclaim the loam. Now, guys, L-O-A-M, tell me what loam is.
Loam is like...
It's like a tome.
No.
It's like a tome.
No, loam is like peaty moss. It's very nutrient-rich dirt.
Yeah, it's fertile soil. He's got to get ready for these blind kids.
Yeah, no, the loam is the stuff he's been living in that whole time. It's lived in. When you get a mattress just right, you don't want to lose a new one.
Sure.
Yeah. No, you got to break it in.
So that means even though we didn't see him, we are going to get more of everybody's favorite Bolivar.
Is there another Bolivar?
Yeah, as opposed to everybody.
Oh, you mean everybody's favorite, Bolivar, not everybody's favorite Bolivar, period.
Oh, boy.
Okay, all right.
All right, so our evil villains, our evil Strigoi, they want the loan back, they're planning, and they want this building. They want this new facility.
They need drains, they need blind children,
right.
They need a successor. They got a lot on their plate.
You know what's really is like...
What's right.
What I like is a lot of people think that the Stonewall group is
Stoneheart group.
Stonehenge group is being led by a total dick. But look, he could just take this building over and no one would care.
Palmer.
But he wants to make sure, Palmer wants to make sure that it's completely right.
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. He wants it to be an exact mix of half lemonade and half iced tea.
Well, the Palmer, let's get to Mr. Palmer here for a bit. He's upset that the master isn't at this new facility. He's like, hey, I was told the master would be here. Listen, you're not my friend, poor man's Christoph Waltz.
Well,
I am the partner of the master. Ouch.
And PMCW is like, ha ha ha, kind of chuckles, and then he does that weird insect thing with his eyes.
Yeah, you got to do that to let them know. So why is Palmer, does Palmer not realize, you know, how deadly these things are? He talks a lot of trash.
Yeah, I still don't know what Palmer's going for. I mean, life in New York City
as a
billionaire is pretty rough. But
now, Palmer doesn't give a warm shit, but do either of you guys give a cold shit about I-Corps' plan and place?
Hmm.
I mean, I would care enough to let it cool.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, you know. All right, let's edit that entire thing from our minds. We shouldn't have gone down there. But let's get to the most thrilling, my favorite part of the episode, and that is the introduction of Coco. And so rather than do a straight reenactment, we are going to just look at Coco, and I'm going to be silent. Oh, yes. Coco Marchand.
Okay, but please, she works just don't make any noises.
Oh, Coco.
Oh, boy. Oh,
So wonderful. Oh, Mr. Parker, who cares about him? He had a family emergency.
Okay,
she's a licensed broker.
A licensed broker.
Right.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness gracious. And she wants to work with Mr. Palmer. That's my kind of lady. Ah, so
she's
friendly.
Coco Marchand.
Very friendly.
Coco Marchand.
Oh, God, look at her. She's, you know, she just brightens up the Strigoi. And so the one thing...
So much so that poor man's Christoph Waltz is like, enough already. Get a room, you two.
Listen, there's...
In fact, get an old folks home room.
Hey, now,
and you get a nurse
listen,
uniform.
Coco, listen,
please, stop it already.
A lot of times I go on my Tinder dates and I ask them if the building we're in has got the EPA straightened. And she knew I was going to ask that and she brought the forms.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not... Total Coco.
Classic Coco.
Yeah.
It's a double C. Classic Coco.
Most of the time, you make sure your Tinder dates show up with their test results.
Listen, it was a soap and cleaning supply factory. She just trusts it to be wonderful. You know, that I get sick to people who don't know what buildings are zoned, and she knows it's zoned 4. IR4. You can build a baseball.
She's
a
total non-flirting professional.
Oh,
here.
She
just
can do
Coco
any...
being Coco, guys.
Listen,
I don't know what the big deal is.
I could do anything with that building, but build a team to compete
it
with the Yankees.
It may just be Coco being Coco, but I don't think you're appreciating her full Coco-ness.
Oh, man.
Not many people can pull off that much Coco.
I don't think we're going to see full Coco-ness in episode 1, guys. Come on.
Well, but even now, not many people can show this much Coco.
This is hilarious.
Well, it's a good thing she brought her paperwork.
Yeah, she's
I've known you for
Red
10
Sox
years.
Fan.
I don't think you've shown me half this much Coco.
Her mother's French and her father's American. She's a mutt. I love it from Boston. Listen to her thick Boston accent. And look at all the baseball games she's been to.
Has she been to more than one or just one?
Well, she's been to, you know, the greater than sign? She's been to greater than sign 1.
Greater than 0.
Baseball can make you feel like a little boy again. You make me feel like a little boy again.
Can I ask a serious question, guys? I'm going to raise my hand.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
What?
Was that your hand?
Yes, that was. Yes.
Strigoi!
Roast beef! What sort of physical transformation is Palmer undergoing, if any?
He's
younger.
He's got the white. So
but it's in his veins, but it hasn't taken over him.
He's not right.
No,
I don't believe he's younger. It doesn't make you any younger. But he was sick, and now he's as healthy as he can be for his age.
Oh, he's totally... Coco's getting him younger and healthier.
But he's not turning... He's got these worms in him, and he's not turning into...
No, this is the thing he was upset about last year, that the master has not totally turned the volume up to 10 on his Strigoi meter.
Oh.
He's better, but he's not invincible yet.
Right. If the master's white affects you for more than 4 hours, see a doctor. See a Strigoi.
See a licensed broker.
I'd like you to call me later tonight, Bubba, and tell me when you stop feeling the cocoa effect.
All right. So we leave there and we go to a school for the blind. Now, could you guys imagine how awesome these kids would be when you first saw them? Like, who knew that there'd be a school for the blind still in operation during the zombie apocalypse?
Well, whatever. They just walk down the street. Look, the great thing about them is,
what?
Day, night, it doesn't matter. They walk down the street and they feel invincible. And because of that, they are.
Right. They all carry around a Strigoi beating stick. I think that's pretty smart of the kids.
It's all Fett needs, but they would need badges.
Now, do you think it's smart that the school hasn't hired a single person with sight to help these kids at all? It's blind leading the blind.
Well, there is someone in the corner wearing a crown, and that guy's got one eye.
Uh-oh, really? Okay, so these kids are going to be taken over the... All right, listen to me. Pack your bags. Now, I was a bit confused. So if they talked to their parents, they didn't get on the bus to Strigoi Central. But if they hadn't talked to their parents, they get put on the bus and led to Drain City. Is that the way it worked? It was pretty confusing.
What if your parents are living in a storage facility? What's the
down
rule then?
By the river? No, that's the way. That's the way that it goes. That is the way that it goes. Is that you've got good parents, you get to go home with them. If your parents don't care, it's Stoneheart time.
And so we all knew where this bus was going to take them, right? Drain City.
Well, but what's weird is that it feels like the bus took them there before Coco informed them that everything was okay. Isn't that right? Aren't I remembering this right? They're like, they drop them off, and then Coco's like, everything's okay. And Palmer's like, oh, right. Okay, good.
So,
have you tried this drink yet?
I have to be honest. I thought...
half lemonade.
my thought went pretty...
Bill Cosby gave you the recipe.
My thoughts went pretty dark. I thought the master was, because he was so injured, that he might just want some young blood to cheer him up. But instead, these kids got planted in the loam.
I believe it's loam.
I don't think so.
Okay. They got planted in the loam. That's fine.
All right. So let's go. We're almost done wrapping this up. Let's go to Stoneheart Group, where we see Mr. Palmer with... Is this guy the mayor? Is he a city official?
That's the mayor.
That's the mayor, yeah.
We didn't see him at all last year.
He's got gray hair. He's in a suit. It's the mayor.
All right.
Also, Department of Health and Human Services.
All right, our guy is there.
Plenty of reporters left. They're not asking any nosy questions like, how come there's crazy blood-sucking people running around the city at night?
Right, to supplement the emergency budget? This is the craziest thing I've ever heard. How about just getting some water in here? You know, I'm going to get some supplies. No, I'm going to improve everybody's credit. But Mr. Palmer, he is totally, his tongue worm is ready for Coco, because here she is.
Because here she is to tell him the place where you just brought all those kids. Okay, you own it now.
Right. And she wants her to work for him.
Oh, in the background, did you see in the background behind the mayor was the new
secretary?
Well,
that was what Mork
secretary.
Said. Yeah, the Moore Health and Human Services. Yeah. People are outside in Times Square watching this, so it's a normal day in New York City.
Perfect.
Nothing special.
They're like, hey, if you hang around Times Square tonight, we'll be showing the new Minions on the big screen.
You know what? Maybe Coco Marchand could tell me how my tie is.
It's Marchand.
It's boring. I'll tell you right now, it's a boring tie, Bubba.
And I saw Coco, you got 100 more of them.
Coco, if you would come to my place and look at all my ties and tell me which is the least boring of them, I'll pay you triple what you normally get paid to have creepy old men look.
No, but my boss. Oh, sorry. No, she said, no, but my boss, he paid for all my training, and I only worked there 8 months.
That's the part of her that was raised by her French mother. So
I am so responsible.
Listen, Coco. She's going to work for Mr. Palmer, and that is the best thing. That has me the most excited for season 2 ever.
What I like was when she was wearing that jacket that had all the mini marshmallows on it.
All right, it was great. But now, of course, who is Coco replacing but my original strained crush, the mother formerly hot, Kelly.
Oh, wow. You're really lookist. You're so lookist, and you're so humanist, too.
Exactly.
So you're saying I should give Kelly a chance while she's now the mother of all these Sturgoi?
Well, what you don't know is about she's about to get some of her brain power back.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
And simply because? You know what? Some people go places because they hang on to, like, stronger people
right.
or more popular people or
sure.
richer people.
Right.
Right? And she is totally hanging on F's either coattails
right.
Or lab coattails
right.
or just whatever is on his head.
Hmm.
I don't know about you fellas. I have a theory about the scene where
oh, man.
Poor man's Christoph Waltz goes
yeah.
and tells her to rise.
Oh, what do you think?
I don't think it's her. I think he just is looking for somebody and saw the green sweater.
Right. She was the only one not dressed in black.
That's what I think.
That's the way you stand out at work is wear some colors that pop if you want to get promoted at work.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. And her eyes were like creepy red. Creepy
yeah, were
red.
They always?
Actually,
like
I think her eyes were the least creepy thing about her.
Hey, mother, formerly lovely Kelly.
Nope.
Come on.
Not lovely.
I think. What if she gets to wear makeup?
Zach's mom has got it going on.
There you go. People used to sing that. Our friends at Geek Girl Soup used to sing that about Nora's mom has got it going on.
Oh, see what you've done. Now let's you got to transfer it over
right.
to Zach's mom.
So would you say that this is a promotion? And why did they really pick Kelly? Is it because of Zach? Is it because of F? Or the green sweater?
I'm surprised that they're that worried about F, although they did, you know, the master did get a little singed.
Right.
So, you know, he's like, we just pluck her out of the crowd.
Is there a doctor in the house, is what the master is saying.
Dr. F.
So this is, okay, so this fits my theory perfectly.
Okay, let's hear
They're going to use Kelly
right.
to lure F in, and that he's going to be the new host for the master.
Ooh, that's a good idea. That's actually a great idea. If that would be heartbreaking if that's the way the season ends. Folks, we haven't mentioned it earlier.
I don't know. I'd like it.
We have not read the books or know any spoilers. Anybody?
No.
So we can't spoil the show even if we wanted to. I think some of our great guesses have spoiled the show. But otherwise, we don't. So, Kelly, do you think there's a chance Kelly could get the I-Corps treatment where she'll get to wear makeup and look like a normal human again?
You know, I'm surprised that once you go totally thoughtless,
yeah.
that you can come back. I would have thought that whatever happens right away.
Hmm.
Because I don't...
Yeah.
yeah. Somehow, I think in the process, like if you kill somebody and then their brain dies, you can't kind of bring that back.
Right.
So you'd have to sort of smart them up right away.
Smart them up. More.
But maybe
I'm
that's
about
not what's
going to
happen. So you think these are all the little kids, huh? The
yeah,
blind
the
kids.
Blind kids. She's going to be the mother to them. And it was a special assignment. So, Mork, where do you see this going? Any predictions where this great storyline goes?
I think they're going to renovate the factory.
Wow. To do what?
More drains.
Right.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, there's all those complaints
yeah.
about the factories in China and the iPhones.
Right.
Thank you.
I thought they would just do it here.
Yeah. Right. These kids, they're not really kids anymore, so we'll let them build iPhones, sure.
What do you think the Apple store looks like right now on the strain?
It needs more loim.
True dat.
All right.
True dat.
Okay, so the thing about these kids is because they can't see, apparently their other senses are extra special. And they have unique abilities, is what poor man's Christoph Waltz says. He says, sight and perception beyond the visible spectrum.
So that just means they can hear and smell.
Behold the feelers. These new breeds of...
The children of the night.
These new breeds...
Well, what do they feel with? Their hands?
With all their other senses. You
Man,
feel with your smell.
They're
going
to be able to put those iPhones together so good with their little precise hands.
Hmm. Right. And they've been, you know what? Look at how much healthier they look now that they've been loimed.
It does look. Have you guys ever gone on, I got this Groupon.
Yes.
Uh-huh. What for
what?
For
one of those mud baths.
Oh yeah. Koreatown. That'd be great.
Yep.
Is there anything else you guys want to say about this upcoming season 2 of The Strain? Mork, you're going to be gone for a month, so why don't you give us all your thoughts before you disappear?
F goes to the dark side.
Oh, yeah.
Zach grows up in a hurry. Zach will be shaving by episode four.
Will that be the same Zach we have now, the original Zach, or yet a new Zach?
It'll be played by young young child Abe Satrakian.
But nice. What will he be shaving? Because I think it's Dutch.
Ooh.
I think you're right.
Okay. Mark, real quick, any other thoughts on season two of The Strain before we bid you adieu for a month?
No, I only wish I could be here to watch and enjoy with you boys. I've never been more jealous.
But you're being overseas. This
well,
is
I have
of...
been more jealous, but I can't talk about it in front of either of you.
Mark, is it okay to tell our listeners why you're going overseas? You work in the entertainment industry. This is so exciting.
Yes, I'm going to find the accent of the little boy played young Abe Satrakian.
Even with a Twitter account, Mork will not tell people the truth about him. Catfish, your thoughts on season two of The Strain?
I wish I could watch it all right now.
Yes.
And then I wish that I had some cocaine so that I could watch it all again.
All again.
Right after that.
Right.
Like, I want to binge watch it twice in a row. Mm-hmm. And then what I want to do is I want to get from A Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
There, the whole things that open up your eyes. And I want somebody with eye wetting moisture drops. And then I want to watch it 12 hours in a row without closing my eyes.
Okay. I think this is going to be a great season. This premiere, I actually thought season one's premiere was okay, but it quickly got into a rut and then rebounded with The Ancient Ones and Hey Bro Gus and all the fun stuff. I think this is going to be it's starting off strong. Let's hope it can stay strong. Once again, let's go round the horn. How can everybody find us on Twitter? I'll start us off. My name's Bubba. You can reach me on Twitter at my Twitter handle, Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim. Fit and Trim on Twitter.
For more Mork, Extraordinary, that's extraordinary with the W before the R.
The second R. And I am CJGman67. There's two R's in Extraordinary.
Sure, go.
All right, CJGman67.
If you want to see Nora's mom, tweet at CJGman67.
I will bring her, and I will bring her hard.
All right, so you will find us on the interwebs the next time there's any Sturgoy on
Got Your Milk!
Or possibly booze.